Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you have given us so much and that you have given us your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that in this very moment we are encountering Jesus together through your word. We know Jesus is the word made flesh. And so open up our hearts, our minds, our very selves to receive your Son, Jesus, through the word, that we may be encouraged and challenged. And Lord, we pray that as I do my best to expound upon the word, that I trust in you and that you use what I offer for your glory. And anything that's not from you, we pray, is forgotten. We thank you very much for your presence and your activity this day. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you, just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world. So it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work, and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints of the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I think all of us can agree at least on this. I know there's a lot of things we probably can't agree on. But on this, I think we can, at least for the most part, that prayer in the life of a Christian is a very, very important component. We need to pray. Praying is vital to our Christian life. Praying allows us to get in contact with the one who created us. Praying gives us an open channel to God through Jesus. It not only gives us an opportunity to unload or unleash or just let go of our burdens, but it also gives us the knowledge that we are in touch with one who cares deeply. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing, and the monks took that very seriously. Many of you have heard of what's called breath prayers. I've mentioned this before. I think I remember someone else mentioning it before. Breath prayers, according to the monks, were an opportunity for them to learn if they were able to incorporate this into their lives, to pray without ceasing, to truly pray without ceasing. And so when they breathed in on the breath prayer, they would address God in some way. So breathing in, they would say, Dear Heavenly Father, breathing in. And then when they breathed out, they would do some petition, some praise. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for my children. Dear Heavenly Father, give me strength. Dear Heavenly Father, may I surrender the insurance bills to you. Whatever the case is. And so the theory goes that if they would do this to the point of habit, then every time they prayed, every time they breathed, they would pray continually without even thinking about it. It would be a part of their life. And so I tried this. And like most things in my life, it lasted like 2 weeks. And then it went away. But it's a good thing to think about and try on occasion, because opening ourselves up to God is such an important task. But oftentimes when we pray to God, we do so in such a way that our prayers that we pray are oftentimes prayers of fixing. Lord, please help so-and-so because they really need it. Please, Lord, provide for me this. Please, Lord, fix so-and-so. Lord, help me to love such and such. You know, all this, Lord, help me do this, do that. Which is okay. It's a part of growing, and it's a part of asking God to be with us. It's a part of that journey. Those of you who have ever been, if anyone's ever been around a child, you know that children need help. And we are but children of God, and we need help. And we need to ask, and God appreciates that asking. But what do you give someone, going back to the gift question, what do you give someone who has everything? Have you ever had that problem around Christmas time where you have a friend or a loved one and they seem not to want for anything? And then when you ask them, what do you want for Christmas? They say what? Nothing. What do you get for them then? I have the perfect gift for you. And if you have your cell phone with you, and if you're looking at it already, I suggest that you go to Amazon.com and you put in the search engine, jar of nothing. Good. I'll give you a moment if you want to do that. Sorry, if you're not signed into our guest Wi-Fi yet, it's the password is Calvary with a capital C. So go ahead and look up jar of nothing. All right, assuming that our Wi-Fi is working correctly, I'll guess that you're there already, or at least getting there. A jar of nothing is just that. It's a jar of nothing. It's just a glass jar that has nothing in it at all. And so if someone says that they want nothing for Christmas, you can give them nothing. Here's a jar of everything that you've asked for. Nothing. Now, I've seen this gift before. It was the sphere of nothing. It was just a plastic ball with nothing. And I read one of the reviews for it, and it was a scientist that said, in fact, this is not nothing. He said, I ordered this because I needed actually nothing for my experiment, but it had ions of oxygen in it and had some carbon dioxide in it and little particles of dirt and other things. So there is something in it. But what do you pray for when you feel like someone has everything? What do you pray for? Do you know someone in your life who you look to as an example, a spiritual example, because their lives seem to be held together, completely wrapped up by the love of God? How do you pray for them? They don't need fixed. They don't seem to need anything. My grandmother, my Nana, I'd mentioned her before, was kind of that person for me, the one that I think of. You know what? I've mentioned her before. I'm going to mention another woman in my life who was that person for me. Her name's Eileen. I think I've mentioned Eileen before. Loved Eileen. Still alive, as far as I know. I haven't talked to Eileen in a long time. Eileen's only about this tall, and she's got to be like 88 years old now, which is not old for those of you who are 88. 88 years old now, and she's just a ball of love for God. Nothing could rock Eileen's world, and the world tried. I mentioned this before. She cut her foot off with a lawnmower, and she said to me, "She said I've never been so blessed in my life." That was her after her foot got cut off, after the amputation of her leg below the knee, after she was fitted for her prosthetic, after she wore blisters on her stump. I went to her and she said, I've never been so blessed in my life. Just a woman who, when I think of someone spiritual, she got it. When Paul was praying for the Colossians, they were a church that got it. They were a spiritually strong church that just, they had it. They had the love for God. They accepted the grace and mercy for God. there was nothing that they could possibly need. But Paul found something to pray for. Paul prayed that they draw closer to God. Paul prayed that they understood the love of God more and more. Paul prayed that Paul knew what life was like and understood that life, even though you spiritually got it, doesn't cut you a break. Comes at you with all kinds of stuff. And Paul asked that they persevered through all that stuff. Paul prayed that through their spiritual reliance upon God, that they continued to draw closer and maintain the path that God had set before them. That's a prayer we can pray for anyone. That's a prayer we can pray for ourselves, for this church, for our neighbors, that we continue to draw closer to God. Because no matter how close we are, we can always get closer. And part of this, however, makes me just a little bit depressed. Because I like to think in my life, one of my favorite things to do after I make a list or someone makes a list for me is check things off. How many of you make lists just to check stuff off? How many of you go so far as to write the thing on a list that you've already done just to see yourself check it off? I've done that. And I tell you, it feels good still. But to know that in this area I'll never arrive feels to me like housework. Housework never gets done. Laundry never gets done. If you say to me, my laundry has been done for a week, I will say to you, please wear clothes while you walk around the house. Because we always wear clothes. It always needs done. It always, laundry happens. Every single day, something else needs washed. Every single day in a house, something else needs clean or picked up. I could clean up a house spick and span. I can't. I don't have that detail or the patience for that. But my wife is very good at that, and I help, and she's also very good at telling me what to do. So if we get together at the same time, we can make the house look pretty darn okay. But 5 minutes later, and the pets have torn up something, the kids have not put a dish away, and I can't blame it all on them. And, you know, house is dirty again. But our spiritual walk, though never completed, though always something else to do, when I talk to Eileen about her faith, and she has been a Christian and a lover of God for many, 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 many years, she never grows tired of it. She always sees that there's more to do. She always sees that there's someone else to love. She always sees that there's someone else to serve. And her attitude in those moments is praise God for that. It's not like housework for her. It's not something that she'll never get done, so that makes her irritated. It's something that she'll never get done and that makes her glad. And for Paul, that's what he saw. He wished that for the Colossians. To continue to have the strength to love God each and every day, understanding that you will never be finished. And that's something to rejoice about. I pray that we have that kind of spirit in our lives and in our hearts. To understand that we will never be close enough to God. We will never run out of people to pray for. We will never run out of people to love. And we will never run out of opportunities to get to know God all the more. And I pray that we embrace that. And, fortunate for all of us today, we have a wonderful opportunity to get to know more people. And so I pray that as we get to know those who come from Manor and one another even more, that we continue to reach out with the love of God and get excited about wherever God takes us from this point on, whatever it might lead to. And I praise God for today, and I praise God for tomorrow. Whatever it might look like.